Well, good morning again, Valley. We're excited that you're here. We're excited that we're getting ready to kick off another series. We're going to look at the life of Joseph. My assignment today is to give an overview of where we're going. I'm not going to jump too deep into it, but Joseph is one of those characters that we all can relate to when you're having a difficult time. I covet your prayers. My wife and I are traveling today. Normally when I fly somewhere, I expect 10 things to go wrong. But that 11th, I really need your prayers so that I don't act out of character, amen? So join me in prayer, and then we're going to go through this overview of the book of Genesis 37 to verse 50. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come, God, right now, wanting to hear from you. God, we need to hear from you. There are difficult times. People are going through all kinds of things. God, we need a word from you to give us hope. Help us to recognize, God, that you have not left us nor forsaken us, but you are right here in the presence of all that we're going through. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in whom I trust. And all God's people said, amen. So we're going to be dealing with the book of Genesis, verses 37 through 50, dealing with life challenges. The older you live, I remember when I was younger and people said, just keep living, and you'll understand how difficult life is. But what I want you to hear is life is hard, but God is good. Life is hard, but God is good. And we're going to see that as we experience some of the challenges that Joseph goes through. In the next slide, you'll see cross stitch. This view of cross stitch is from the behind, the back. My mom used to do cross stitch when I was young, and every time she did it, when she got done, she would turn it over. And as a child, I'm like, Mom, why are you wasting your time? That looks ugly. What is it? You got string, you got knots, you got all kind of things happening. Then she said, Barry, once I turn it over, you'll see the design and the purpose of which it was supposed to be. Go to the next slide, and you actually see something beautiful. That's kind of like what we're going to see in Joseph's life. It's going to get real ugly. It's going to get downright depressing at times. It's going to be a real challenge. And those closest to him kind of hurt him the most. And he had family situations that would break our hearts, but some of us can identify. But at the end of the story, you'll see where he said, you may have meant it for evil, but God was even working, even in the mess that you did, to bring about his good. So life is hard, but God is what? Amen. So are you ready? Yes. Valley? I'm going to ask you again. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's jump in. Let's look at our outline. Let's look where we're going to go. We're going to see how God's presence is with Joseph. Even in the tangled mess, God was with Joseph. We're going to see the providence of God. Each thread was part of the plan. We're going to see God's purpose, the design revealed at just the right time. And in the end, we're going to see God's grace, the picture displayed through forgiveness and restoration. I chose a theme for this message today. The Lord was with Joseph, guiding his life through every trial to accomplish his greater purposes. purposes. Let's start with point number one, God's presence in the midst of suffering. A phrase that you'll see and will hear over and over again, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of the Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made everything he did succeed. I want to stop right there. As the Lord was with Joseph, even in his terrible circumstances, his countenance never dropped. His face never showed what was going on in his life. I think that's a word for us. If we know God's still on the throne and God's still working and we still have breath, we know God's still at work in our life, and there's somebody that needs to hear, God is good. Even though your circumstances are bad, people want to see how we respond when we're in difficult situations or partnered or placed in a difficult season. The Bible says, when the Egyptian master noticed, in other words, when he looked at him, he said, he's my slave, but yet he still has joy. He understood there's something different about him. There's something that I need to research a little bit more. Not only was his countenance up, it says that everything he did was successful. I don't know about you, when I'm in a difficult season, I don't know that I give my best all the time. Sometimes I'm just trying to get through. I'm gonna be honest. I'm just trying to make it past. But Joseph still gave his best, even though he was in a mess. So the Bible continues to say, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. Okay, Joseph went from being a slave, now he's in prison. Once again, the warden said there's something different about him. And he extended favor to him that he wasn't like any other prisoner. He had freedom. He was doing things that normal prisoners don't do. And in verse 23 says, of Genesis 39, the warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made everything that he did succeed. Once again, the warden was watching. And as the warden watched him, he said, he's not like any other prisoner. He's got character. He's got integrity. He's got those things that I don't know why he's here, but I'm going to utilize him because God's with him. I'm going to let him be elevated, even though he was in prison. So once again, his circumstances didn't dictate his relationship with the Creator God. It caused him to recognize, I'm here, but I'm here for a purpose. How many people, when you get into those situations, the prayer that I normally do is like, God, get me out of this. As a man, I'm just going, Donald, as a man, I do not like pain. Every man should say amen. When pain hits, I'm looking for relief. God, can we just hurry this lesson along? I'm a fast study. Can we get through it? And God said, Barry, you forgot I made you. I know how long it takes for you to get things. So we're just going to sit here for a minute. Ask me, do I smile as I sit? Ask me if I'm sitting there like, yes, Lord, I love every bit of this. I go to the basement, And I just sit. And I'm like, God, can we just move it on? But sometimes there's purpose in your pain. God wants you to see something greater. And too many times we're fixated on me instead of him, as into learning to ask the God, instead of get me out of this, God, help me see you in this. Help me see how you're working in and through this. But the warden saw there was something different about Joseph. So he put everything under his control. One of my go-to verses when I get into situation, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Understand, life is hard. Sometimes you're going to be broken. That's what life is. But can I tell you, Jesus draws near to those who are broken, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let that wash over you. I don't care what circumstance you're in. Jesus draws near to those who are broken, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. The Lord is near all who call out to him. All who call out to him with integrity or truth. Everyone that calls out to him. Lord, I need to see you. Lord, I need to understand. Lord, I need your presence. I need to feel your power working in this situation. When we're in those difficult seasons, our heart should be bent towards our Savior, because he's there. Our challenge is to not be prideful. Our challenge is to say, God, this hurts. God, I need you. I thank you for the cross that saved me. But I need your power today to enable me to walk in the joy of the Lord, even in spite of my circumstances. The Lord is near. And so we understand that God's presence in the midst of our circumstances, he's near. But I also want you to see God's providence over human actions. You'll also understand that those closest to Joseph, his family, hurt him deeply. And I'm just going to go over a brief part of how they hurt him. Look at what it says in Genesis 37, 4 and 5. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers. Let me stop right there. Parents, we don't have any favorites, amen? Parents, I'm a parent. Your kids should all feel the love, amen? The problem with Joseph, daddy, he bought him a coat of many colors. The Bible says he actually loved Joseph more than his other kids. That's a no-no, parents. It is causing hatred and jealousy within the family dynamic. It says, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. I'm not going to go into the dream, but the dream was pretty. I won't go into it. Look at what the brothers did out of their hatred and jealousy. Go to the next slide. Genesis 37, 18. They saw him in a distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Understanding, this is their brother. Somebody they grew up with. They were so mad, hated him so much, that they wanted to kill him. Good old Reuben came by and said, "No, we can't kill him. That's our brother. I got an idea. Let's throw him in a pit." For me, pits are kind of dark, lonely. Now I'm only there to myself. How many people know what ants are? Automatic negative thoughts. Imagine yourself being in that pit, your thought process. "Yeah, I probably deserve this. I'm no good. Nobody loves me." And all of a sudden, you just start spiraling about how bad you are and you deserve what just happened to you. And the pits are those places where we don't want to stay. You're isolated. There's no one around you. You're just there with your thoughts. And so they placed him in this pit instead of killing him. The pit was empty, without water. But then let's go see what they did next. Verse 37:27. He says, "Come on. Okay, let's sell him. Let's sell him into slavery. After all, he is our own flesh and blood. I want you to walk with me." They went from, "Let's kill him." "No, we can't kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit." "No, we can't leave him down there to die by himself. Let's pull him out of the pit and let's sell him into slavery." If that's not a bad day, I don't know what is. That's a super bad day. And their father sent him out to go see how the brothers were doing. You see how this is all not making sense? Dad sent him. They saw him in the distance. "We're going to kill him." "No, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in the pit." "No, he's our brother. We'll just make him a slave." I think that qualifies as a real horrible day. I think that's something that all of us would struggle with. But somehow in it all, the people noticed that the Lord was with him. When he went into slavery in the Egyptian master's house, Potiphar's house, they saw that there was something different. The part I left out of that story in Potiphar's house, Potiphar had a pretty nice looking wife. And gentlemen, she pursued him with all her being to have him. Sometimes I make the worst decisions when I'm having a bad day. Can anybody else testify? My worst decisions come when the day is the worst. But Joseph made the best decision in his worst day. He told the woman, who was so nice looking, "How could I do such a wicked thing to my God? And then to your husband, who has not withheld anything in his kingdom but you." That's integrity. That's godliness. That's somebody that understands their life means more than pleasure. That's somebody that understands that Jesus paid it all. How dare I do such a wicked thing? And so for Joseph, his heart was bent towards God in such a way that everyone noticed, even Potiphar's wife. and tried to take him down. I'm inspired by that. That gives me hope. When temptation comes, I don't have to fall into it. My circumstances do not give me a pass to sin. That was an amen time. I'm gonna help you. My circumstances, Daniel, you know, I'm getting on this plane, and there's always that person. This is my elbow space. It does not cause me to knock it off. Because remember, 10 things are going to go bad, but pray for me on that 11th. My circumstances do not give me a pass to sin. Hey, Dick, I want to run back and hug you, but I can't. I got to keep moving. Let's go to Genesis 39, 16 through 18. We're going to look at Potiphar's wife a little bit more. She acted out of deceit. His brothers acted out of jealousy and hatred. Look at what it says. She put Joseph's garment beside her until his master came home. Then she told him the same story. In other words, she told a lie. The Hebrew slave you brought to us came to make a fool of me, but when I screamed for help, he left his garment beside me and ran outside. She told a lie on him. She told her husband, her servants, that he tried to rape her, and it was the other way around. I think his day's starting to get bad again, because once the husband came home, he got put in prison. And this is the last one. He's in prison now. There comes a cupbearer and a baker. They both get thrown into jail because the king was angry at them, right? They both have dreams. Two dreams happen. The cupbearer had a dream, and he told it to Joseph. Joseph said, hey, in 3 days, you're going to be restored. You're going to be handing the cup back. The baker was so excited. The baker said, guess what? I had a dream. Me too, me too. He told him a dream. He said, in 3 days, your head's going to get chopped off. Amen. Two dreams, two different outcomes. But the cupbearer, he said, when you are restored back to your position, remember me. Remember, I'm the one that told you the dream. Speak favorably to the king. Oh, the Bible is funny. Go to the next slide. Genesis 40:23 says, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Anybody ever felt forgotten before? Everybody, you did the best for somebody, and they just forgot you. I'm here to tell you, Jesus hadn't forgot you. He sees you in your pain. He understands what you're going through because he lived the life. And that's why I encourage you to draw near to him when you're in these difficult seasons, because he sees you. He sees those who have forgotten you. He sees those that have betrayed you. He sees you in all your pain. And he wants to encourage you. Your pain's not for nothing. If you give it to me, I can turn it around in such a way that God in heaven is glorified. But the problem is, sometimes we hold on to pain And we don't give God the opportunity to turn it around. And yet, in spite of everything that Joseph been, from the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison, God was in the background orchestrating this whole thing to elevate Joseph to a place of position. Look at what it says in Genesis 41, 39 through 40. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You will be over my whole house, and all my people will obey your commands. Only I, as king, will be greater." I just wanted you to see God used each step of the way to help Joseph get to where he needed to go, which was Egypt. There was a greater problem working in the background, and God was sending Joseph to Egypt. And sometimes, in the backstory of our lives, God's working something greater. And we don't always get to know ahead of time what that greater is. And part of our job is to trust. Not only did God's presence was with him in the midst of suffering, God's providence over human actions, God's purpose and elevation and influence. Look at what happens in Genesis 41, 41 through 42. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him with fine linen garments, and placed a gold chain around his neck. Joseph was being elevated to second in command, even though he had to go through all that. Genesis 45, verse 5, 7 through 8. This is when Joseph is reunited the second or third time with his family, his brothers. He said, "And now, don't be grieved or angry with yourself for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life." Once again, his heart was bent towards God. He saw God at work in his life, and he said, "God had to get me here so that we could save our family and many others." Verse 7 says, "God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me a father to Pharaoh, Lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." You see, God exalted the faithful not for personal glory, but for kingdom purposes. So when God elevates you, it's not for you to take all the credit. It's for you to point people back to the God of the Bible, who's at work in your life and was doing a mighty work for his glory, not your own. And lastly, God's grace. All throughout this story, you see God's grace through forgiveness and reconciliation. Verse 50, Genesis 50, 19 through 20. "But Joseph said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I am in the place of God. You planned it for evil against me. God planned it for good, to bring about the present result, the survival of many people.'" You see, when you recognize God at work and you recognize that he is the one that's orchestrating your path, you can surrender all the hurt and the pain to him and forgive. I think so many of us hold on to the things that people have done, and they forget all that we did to God. At one point, we were enemies. None of us sought him. We did all kind of wickedness and lived opposed to him. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he has for us, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our trespasses, you are saved by grace." But God, who is rich in mercy, understanding this, every one of us, at one point in our life, or still now, have been separated from God because of our sins. And you say, what is sin? Rebellion against God. In other words, I put it, doing it my way. The things that I want to do that God tells me not to do. But Jesus came to live the life that I couldn't live. How many people know Barry's not perfect? Put your hand down. We went through many counseling sessions. Am I not perfect? That's my wife. That's the first thing went wrong today. I got 9 more. Because I'm not perfect, Jesus had to come. He's the only perfect sacrifice. He's the only one that God would accept his sacrifice because he did not sin. But he took my sins to the cross, hung on the cross and died for my sins. I'm not the only sinner here. He came to die for your sins. He is pursuing a relationship with his creation. He is calling to you. I want you to come home. Put your faith in my son. The gospel is all about Jesus. It's a person who lived a perfect life, who died on a cross for our sins. 3 days later, he was risen. And he's alive. You forgot to yell. He's alive. He's alive. Making intercession for each one of his children. That tells you when you don't know what to pray, Jesus is praying for you. My question to you, if you haven't put your faith in him, what's stopping you? He wants the relationship. He's made the provision. He just needs our response. And so what happens is you hear something like this, and you hear about God's presence, you hear about God's providence, you hear about God's purpose. And you also hear about God's grace. That's how we're saved, by his grace. I'm going to ask you to bow. Every head and every eye closed, bow. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask a question. Father in heaven, we come right now, God, knowing that you're always working, and you're always drawing people to yourself. God, in a congregation this size, God, we don't know where everyone stands. And so, God, that one who you may be calling out, God, give them the power to say, it's me. I need to be back in right relationship. I put my faith in Jesus. with every eye closed and all heads bowed, if that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you. If you never put your faith in Jesus, I see your hand. I see your hand. If there's somebody else that wants to put their faith in Jesus, just slip up your hand. I see your hand, sir. I see it. God is moving, young man. We continue to recognize that God is drawing people out. Father, I thank you for the two that you have called out today. I thank you for your Spirit working and drawing people to yourself. God, encourage them as they walk this Christian journey that they don't walk it alone. Help them to know Valley is here to walk with them. Your Spirit is here to walk with them. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue. This is our first Sunday. It is our communion Sunday. If you have not received your communion cups, they will be coming around. We celebrate the Lord's Supper because he told us to. We look backwards to all that he's done. We look inward and see if there's anything in our lives that we have not confessed, and we do it so that we take this in right relationship with him, but we look forward to a time that we'll have that feast and take it together in heaven. I think there's some over here. If you have not received it, just slip up your hand. Ryan, you could have got up. I have no idea why you're making me do this. No, you're not. It's communion. I gotta get serious. Everyone been served that wants to be served. Amen. The Bible says on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's give thanks. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus and his body that was beaten and bruised on our behalf, that he did not come down from the cross, but he stayed there to pay the penalty that I should have paid, that we should all pay. We give you glory. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all commune together. The Bible says, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. This is my body, for which we already did that. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink together. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus and all that he did to bring us back to himself. God, we thank you for our service today. We ask, God, that you would move. If someone needs to join our congregation and be a part of it, or respond in different ways, that they're in a difficult season and they just need prayer, Pastor Mike will be up front, I'll be up front. Whatever God's challenging your heart with, this is your time in the service to respond. Amen. If you'll all rise, we're going to sing one more song. And this song talks about trusting in God. Where is God challenging you to trust him?